prostitute, who, having furnished themselves with staves, hedge stakes, holm, and holly bushes, fell upon me, and beat me on my head, arms, and shoulders, till they had deprived me of sense, so that I fell down upon the wet common. When I recovered again and saw myself lying in a watery common, and the people standing about me, I lay still a little while, and the power of the Lord sprang through me, and the eternal refreshings revived me, so that I stood up again in the strengthening power of the eternal God, and stretching out my arms toward them, I said with a loud voice, "Strike again. Here are my arms, my head, and my cheeks." There was in the company a mason, a professor, but a rude fellow, who with his walking rule staff gave me a blow with all his might, just over the back of my hand, as it was stretched out, with which blow my hand was so bruised and my arm so benumbed that I could not draw it to me again. Some of the people cried, "He has spoiled his hand forever, having no use of it any more." But I looked at it in the love of God, for I was in the love of God to all that persecuted me. And after a while the Lord's power sprang through me again, and through my arm and hand, so that in a moment I recovered strength in my hand and arm in the sight of them all. Then they began to fall out among themselves. Some of them came to me and said that if I would give them money, they would secure me from the rest. But I was moved of the Lord to declare the word of life and showed them their false Christianity and the fruits of their priest's ministry, telling them that they were more like heathens and Jews than true Christians. Then I was moved of the Lord to come again through the midst of the people and go into Ulverstone Market. As I went, there met me a soldier with his sword by his side. "Sir," said he to me, "I see you are a man, and I am ashamed and grieved that you should be thus abused." And he offered to assist me in what he could. I told him that the Lord's power was over all, and I walked through the people in the market, none of whom had power to touch me then. But some of the market people, abusing some friends in the market, I turned about and saw this soldier among them with his naked rapier, whereupon I ran, and catching hold of the hand his rapier was in, bid him put up his sword again if he would go along with me. About 2 weeks after this, I went into Walney Island, and James Naylor went with me. We stayed one night at a little town on this side called Cochin, and had a meeting there, where one was convinced. After a while, there came a man with a pistol, whereupon the people ran out of doors. He called for me, and when I came out to him, he snapped his pistol at me, but it would not go off. This caused the people to make a great bustle about him, and some of them took hold of him to prevent his doing mischief. But I was moved in the Lord's power to speak to him, and he was so struck by the power of the Lord that he trembled for fear and went and hid himself. Thus the Lord's power came over them all, though there was a great rage in the country. Next morning I went over in a boat to James Lancaster's. As soon as I came to land, there rushed out about 40 men with staves, clubs, and fishing poles, who fell upon me, beating and punching me, and endeavoring to thrust me backward into the sea. When they had thrust me almost into the sea, and I saw they would knock me down in it, I went up into the midst of them, but they laid at me again and knocked me down and stunned me. When I came to myself, I looked up and saw James Lancaster's wife throwing stones at my face, and her husband, James Lancaster, was lying over me to keep the blows and the stones off me. For the people had persuaded James Lancaster's wife that I had bewitched her husband, and had promised her that if she would let them know when I came thither, they would be my death. And having got knowledge of my coming, many of the town rose up in this manner with clubs and staves to kill me. But the Lord's power preserved me, that they could not take away my life. At length I got up on my feet, but they beat me down again into the boat, which James Lancaster, observing, he presently came into it, and set me over the water from them. But while we were on the water within their reach, they struck at us with long poles and threw stones after us. By the time we were come to the other side, we saw them beating James Naylor. For whilst they had been beating me, he walked up into a field, and they never minded him till I was gone. Then they fell upon him, and all their cry was, "Kill him, kill him." When I was come over to the town again on the other side of the water, the townsmen rose up with pitchforks, flails, and staves to keep me out of the town, crying, "Kill him, knock him on the head, bring the cart, and carry him away to the churchyard." So after they had abused me, they drove me some distance out of town, and there left me. Then James Lancaster went back to look after James Naylor. And I, being now left alone, went to a ditch of water, and having washed myself, for they had besmeared my face, hands, and clothes with miry dirt, I walked about 3 miles to Thomas Hutton's house, where lodged Thomas Lawson, the priest that was convinced. When I came in, I could hardly speak to them, I was so bruised. Only I told them where I left James Naylor. So they took each of them a horse, and went and brought him thither that night. The next day Margaret Fell, hearing of it, sent a horse for me, but I was so sore with bruises I was not able to bear the shaking of the horse without much pain. When I was come to Swarthmore, Justice Sawry and one Justice Thompson of Lancaster granted a warrant against me, but Judge Fell coming home, it was not served upon me, for he was out of the country all this time that I was thus cruelly abused. When he came home, he sent forth warrants into the Isle of Walney to apprehend all those riotous persons, whereupon some of them fled the country. James Lancaster's wife was afterwards convinced of the truth and repented of the evil she had done me, and so did others of those bitter persecutors also. But the judgments of God fell upon some of them, and destruction has come upon many of them since. Judge Fell asked me to give him a relation of my persecution, but I told him they could do no otherwise in the spirit wherein they were, and that they manifested the fruits of their priest ministry and their profession and religion to be wrong. So he told his wife I made light of it, and that I spoke of it as a man that had not been concerned, for indeed the Lord's power healed me again. The time for the sessions at Lancaster being come, I went thither with Judge Fell, who on the way told me he had never had such a matter brought before him before, and he could not well tell what to do in the business. I told him, when Paul was brought before the rulers, and the Jews and priests came down to accuse him, and laid many false things to his charge, Paul stood still all that while. And when they had done Festus, the governor and king of Agrippa, beckoned to him to speak for himself, which Paul did, and cleared himself of all those false accusations, so he might do with me. Being come to Lancaster, Justice Sawry and Justice Thompson, having granted a warrant to apprehend me, though I was not apprehended by it, yet hearing of it, I appeared at the sessions, where there appeared against me about 40 priests. These had chosen one Marshall, priest of Lancaster, to be their orator, and had provided one young priest and two priest's sons to bear witness against me, who had sworn beforehand that I had spoke blasphemy. When the justices were sat, they heard all that the priests and their witnesses could say and charge against me, their orator Marshall sitting by and explaining their sayings for them. But the witnesses were so confounded that they discovered themselves to be false witnesses. For when the court had examined one of them upon oath, and then began to examine another, he was at such loss he could not answer directly, but said the other could say it, which made the justices say to him, "Have you sworn it, and given it in already upon your oath, and now say that he can say it? It seems you did not hear those words spoken yourself, though you have sworn it." There were then in court several who had been at that meeting wherein the witnesses swore I spoke those blasphemous words which the priests accused me of. And these, being men of integrity and reputation in the country, did declare and affirm in court that the oath which the witnesses had taken against me was altogether false, and that no such words as they had sworn against me were spoken by me at that meeting. Indeed, most of the serious men of that side of the country then at the sessions had been at that meeting and had heard me both at that and at other meetings also. This was taken notice of by Colonel West, who, being a justice of the peace, was then upon the bench, and having long been weak in body, blessed the Lord and said that he had healed him that day, adding that he never saw so many sober people and good faces altogether in all his life. Then turning himself to me, he said in the open sessions, "George, if thou hast anything to say to the people, thou mayest freely declare it." I was moved of the Lord to speak, and as soon as I began, Priest Marshall, the orator for the rest of the priests, went his way. That which I was moved to declare was this, that the Holy Scriptures were given forth by the Spirit of God, and that all people must come to the Spirit of God in themselves, in order to know God and Christ, of whom the prophets and apostles learnt, and that by the same Spirit all men might know the Holy Scriptures. For as the Spirit of God was in them that gave forth the Scriptures, so the same Spirit must be in all them that come to understand the Scriptures. By this Spirit they might have fellowship with the Father, with the Son, with the Scriptures, and with one another. And without this Spirit they can know neither God, Christ, nor the Scriptures, nor have a right fellowship one with another. I had no sooner spoken these words than about half a dozen priests that stood behind me burst into a passion. One of them, whose name was Jacques, amongst other things that he spake against the truth, said that the Spirit and the letter were inseparable. I replied, "Then every one that hath the letter hath the Spirit, and they might buy the Spirit with the letter of the Scriptures." This plain discovery of darkness in the priest moved Judge Fell and Colonel West to reprove them openly, and tell them that according to that position they might carry the Spirit in their pockets, as they did the Scriptures. Upon this the priest, being confounded and put to silence, rushed out in a rage against the justices, because they could not have their bloody ends upon me. The justices, seeing the witnesses, did not agree, and perceiving that they were brought to answer the priest's envy, and finding that all their evidences were not sufficient in law to make good their charge against me, discharged me. After Judge Fell had spoken to Justice Sawrey and Justice Thompson concerning the warrant they had given forth against me, and showing them the errors thereof, he and Colonel West granted a supersedes to stop the execution of it. Footnote 82, supersedes, a writ or order from the court setting aside or staying the execution of the original writ. Thus I was cleared in open sessions of those lying accusations which the malicious priests had laid to my charge, and multitudes of people praised God that day, for it was a joyful day to many. Justice Benson of Westmoreland was convinced, and Major Ripon, mayor of the town of Lancaster, also. It was a day of everlasting salvation to hundreds of people, for the Lord Jesus Christ, the way to the Father, the free teacher, was exalted and set up. His everlasting gospel was preached, and the word of eternal life was declared over the heads of the priests and all such lucrative preachers. For the Lord opened many mouths that day to speak his word to the priests, and several friendly people and professors reproved them in their inns and in the streets, so that they fell like an old rotten house, and the cry was among the people that the Quakers had got the day and the priests were fallen. Chapter 7. In Prison Again, 1653. About the beginning of the year 1653, I returned to Swarthmore, and going to a meeting at Gleaston, a professor challenged to dispute with me. I went to the house where he was and called him to come forth, but the Lord's power was over him, so that he durst not meddle. I departed thence, visiting the meetings of friends in Lancashire, and came back to Swarthmore. great openings I had from the Lord, not only of divine and spiritual matters, but also of outward things relating to the civil government. Being one day in Swarthmore Hall, when Judge Fell and Justice Benson were talking of the news and of the Parliament then sitting, called the Long Parliament, I was moved to tell them that before that day, 2 weeks, the Parliament should be broken up and the Speaker plucked out of his chair. That day, 2 weeks, Justice Benson told Judge Fell that now he saw George was a true prophet, for Oliver had broken up the Parliament. Footnote 83. Cromwell rejected the Rump Parliament, April 20, 1653. There is no contemporary authentication of this prophecy, but there is no reason to doubt the correctness of this account. Such cases of specific foreseeing have been common throughout the entire history of Friends. They have received some slight investigation by the London branch of the Society for Psychical Research, though they have never received the careful investigation which they deserve. About this time I was in a fast for about 10 days, my spirit being greatly exercised on truth's behalf. For James Milner and Richard Meyer went out into imaginations, and a company followed them. This James Milner and some of his company had true openings at the first, but getting up into pride and exaltation of spirit, they ran out from truth. I was sent for to them and was moved of the Lord to go and show them their outgoings. They were brought to see their folly and condemned it, and came into the way of truth again. For some time I went to a meeting at Arnside, where was Richard Meyer, who had been long lame of one of his arms. I was moved of the Lord to say unto him amongst all the people, Stand up upon thy legs, for he was sitting down. And he stood up and stretched out his arm that had been lame a long time, and said, Be it known unto you, all people, that this day I am healed. Footnote 84. This case of healing belongs in the inexhaustible list of cases of healing by faith. There are many forms of mental healing and of faith healing, and the researches of modern psychology have given us a principle of explanation for all cures of this sort. All such remarkable events seemed to George Fox to partake of the miraculous, and most naturally gave him the impression that he was a peculiarly chosen instrument of the Lord. Yet his parents could hardly believe it, but after the meeting was done, they had him aside, took off his doublet, and then saw it was true. He came soon after to Swarthmore meeting, and there declared how the Lord had healed him. Yet after this the Lord commanded him to go to York with a message from him, which he disobeyed, and the Lord struck him again, so that he died about 3/4 of a year after. Now were great threatenings given forth in Cumberland that if I ever came there they would take away my life. When I heard it, I was drawn to go into Cumberland, and went to Miles Wennington's, in the same parish from which those threatenings came, but they had not power to touch me. On a first day, I went into the steeple house at Bootle, and when the priest had done, I began to speak. Footnote 85. Bootle is in Cumberland. But the people were exceeding rude, and struck me and beat me in the yard. One gave me a very great blow over my wrist, so that the people thought he had broken my hand to pieces. The constable was very desirous to keep the peace, and would have set some of them that struck me by the heels, if I would have given way to it. After my service amongst them was over, I went to Joseph Nicholson's house, and the constable went a little way with us, to keep off the rude multitude. In the afternoon I went again. The priest had got to help him another priest that came from London and was highly accounted.